This is the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous Podcast with iHeartRadio.
Everybody, I'm Ben.
I'm Ashley.
And I'm Sean.
We have Sean Booth in studio.
Yay! All right.
But this isn't the only thing we're clapping about today. I mean, this is a big deal, and we're going to get to it. But before we start, we have to give the most warm, most loving, most earnest congratulations to my co-host, Ashley Iaconetti, on her engagement to the beautiful, the wonderful Jared Haybaum.
Yeah, hi. Yes. Thank you, guys.
I also just heard that she's pregnant. Is there any truth to this?
No truth to that.
Really?
But you would think it's like a shotgun engagement, right? But no.
I hope that if you are pregnant, Ashley, that the Almost Famous Podcast could bid to release that message first. Yeah. That'd be big news.
I would let you guys have that, and it's also not true or
she
happening
is,
anytime soon.
She is glowing. Okay, so here's the deal. Ashley is engaged.
Yes.
This is a whirlwind.
Think about where I was a year ago.
I can remember it.
We were setting me up with celebrity crushes. That never happened.
That's a good point. Who was it? Jimmy Garoppolo?
Yeah, Jimmy Garoppolo.
Jared's really? A lot better, I think. Don't you think, Sean?
Yes. I heard he's got a better arm, too.
It's great that Sean's in studio because Sean and I got to spend a whole season during Caitlin's season with Jared. And I know you and I both loved him. Love him.
Oh, he's the best.
Best
the
top four
best.
Of all time. Look, these two men plus Jared, you know, and the other guy.
And which one was that?
And Sean walks away the champion.
That was a great cast of guys.
It was
I look
the
back
best.
At pictures and like the last 8 or even 10.
Incredible.
All solid dudes.
And so, I mean, we look in this room right now. Ashley has found love from that season. You, Sean, have found love from that season.
And you, hopefully, next season, Bachelor Ben.
That's what I'm
Let's
thinking.
Get all Jared, the headlines today.
Jared and I were already thinking, like, who will be my replacement if Ben is the next Bachelor? And Jared is obviously the natural choice.
Yeah, so this is a funny one. I called Ashley this week. I got to share this, Ashley.
Okay.
I know you meant nothing by it. And then I got to ask you 1,000 questions about... Sean and I have 1,000 questions to ask you about the engagement. But I called Ashley to congratulate her and talk to her about the podcast this week. I said, Ashley, here's the one thing I'm worried about. You're going to leave me to do a podcast with Jared. And she goes, ha, yeah.
No.
There was no like laugh. There was no like earnest like that would never happen. And I said, Ashley, you're supposed to laugh at that because now I actually am worried.
No. I think when you feel like you hear something correctly and then it's like too late to be like, oh, wait, what? I already responded. You know, when you're like, oh, wait, I don't think I responded right because I don't think I heard it right.
Well, here's the thing. If you and Jared do start a podcast,
we are not called, starting any podcast. I cannot have three.
That's called
podcasts,
the Almost
Ben.
Famous Podcast. I would just like to be the small third wheel. I think I could offer a lot as a third wheel. I'm pretty good at it. Ashley, you're not wearing a ring.
Yeah, it's getting sized right now. I met Neil Lane on Friday. I should be able to pick it up today or tomorrow.
Okay,
so that's one thing we all have in common. We all got rings from Neil. And two of us still have them.
Yeah, I don't know where mine's
and
at.
Yours is
where
yours
do you think they
now
go?
Because it's 2 years.
Yeah, that's right.
For all of you wondering, the ring is technically yours after 2 years.
It's a good down payment on that house.
Yeah, we sold it. We got a nice house in Nashville. But no, that's a great way to handle that, right? Because Neil Lane, he gives out these $100,000 rings, but he gets about 98% of them back. So it works out awesome.
Oh, that's a good. I never thought about that, Sean.
I was thinking about how many girls throughout the world or the country are like telling their future fiancés, I want a Neil Lane ring because of The Bachelor.
Yeah.
Probably a lot.
He definitely makes a lot of profit off giving off the one ring at 2 rings a year.
And
are you
I
happy
always
with your
feel
ring?
Bad.
You wait.
I always feel bad because everybody's like, Sean, you did an awesome job. It's a nice ring. I'm like, I didn't pay for the thing.
Yeah, they gave me 10 options. They're all pretty nice.
Yeah, I got 5 options.
Are you happy with your ring, Ashley?
Oh my God, it's perfect, perfect, perfect. It's exactly what I always imagined on my finger. They asked my sister, you know, of course, Jared and my sister kind of worked together on putting it together.
This is unbelievable. We had no idea. I saw on People Magazine's Instagram that Ashley Iaconetti was engaged. At first, I was like, why didn't she tell me? And then I was like, well, she wouldn't have known. Like,
yeah. Did you have any idea?
Well, I had an inkling. I was like 50-50. I thought it was going to happen for a couple weeks leading up to it. And then the week of, everyone was throwing me off. So I knew that Jared would ask my dad. He always said that he would ask my dad. But I talked to my parents and they're like, Ashley, he did not call. Total straight faces. He did call. My parents are apparently really good actors. So is my sister. So are Jade and Tanner. Mm-hmm. It's like all very crazy. It was off and on. I was like, it's going to happen. No, it's not going to happen. It's going to happen. It's not going to happen.
What about the day of? Were you like sensing that he was being a little weird?
Mm-hmm. No, that's the other crazy part is that he didn't seem nervous at all.
He's good.
So I was like, I know he's a good actor though. Yes. I know Jared.
Absolutely.
I always knew he was a good actor, not the rest of my family and friends. But Ben, what I was going to say to you was that they released it on People 12 hours after it happened. And Jared and I only called like our immediate family and like two best friends each. And then we're like, we'll call everyone tomorrow. We'll call and text everybody else tomorrow. We woke up the next day and it was everybody knew. And we had an inbox full of people being like, well, you have a lot of explaining to do. I'm like, I had no idea it was going to turn around that fast. I had not even told my grandma.
Oh, that hurts.
I know. So I called her and thank goodness she didn't know. She hadn't heard the news yet.
Well, Jared was my favorite actor during Caitlyn's season of The Bachelorette, so I have no doubt that he hid this well. So you didn't tell your grandma. People magazine released it first. I found out second. Sean and Caitlyn are at home probably screaming happy with tears of joy.
It was her birthday the next day or two.
Yes, it was.
Caitlyn's birthday?
Yeah. Yes.
So as a birthday present to Caitlyn, are we going to be able to watch this engagement on TV?
Yes, of course. It will be on Bachelor in Paradise in August.
I had no doubt. Yeah,
this is all wonderful news. It couldn't have happened to two better people, right? But here's where I have a problem. This is like the end of an era.
I know.
The Ashley I era, an icon in the Bachelor franchise. You can expect to see her almost on every season. The tears.
Oh,
I mean,
my gosh.
It's like Prince Harry getting married, right? Like, it was great, but I liked my Prince Harry naked in the Vegas pools as a bachelor.
Yes.
I love my Ashley I on TV crying because of Jared.
Sean, this is like too generous of you.
But
well, I don't think this is a compliment.
No, it's a compliment.
It's the way he's smiling and his eyes are glowing.
Yes,
look like
absolutely.
It's a compliment.
I love it. But an end of an era, and it couldn't have ended any better.
Aww.
And the start of a new one.
Thank you.
What is this new era going to look like? I mean, Ashley, I got to ask you, are you happy?
Well, I mean, come on now. Of course, I'm like the happiest ever. I'm just so concerned about when life is going to like, when's life going to turn around? Like, it's been so good.
But I'm with Sean. This is crazy to me. I mean, I thought about this, and I've seen the progression. Obviously, we're all hoping. We all get there, right? We all want to find love. We all want to be in relationships. So I wasn't wishing you to be like the Ashley that is crying here over boys forever. But I'm with Sean. This is a huge change for us.
Yeah.
Like, what is the Bachelor franchise going to do? Like, even when like they aired weddings on TV, the last scene would be her
crying.
On the staircase.
Can you believe? I'm going to have to go back.
They're probably like, what do we do now?
There's so much that needs to change. Ashley, what's it going to look like?
I don't know. Just like following Jared in my marriage and relationship, but it's all good. Like Jared's always like, you know, like it's not ever this good. Like this is crazy.
Yeah, you're
good.
Still like crazy honeymoon phase.
Yeah.
Right? Have you had any fights yet?
No.
Oh man.
But in your life,
we've
had
fights. Like yeah,
we've
over
seen
our,
those.
Yeah,
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 but,
yeah.
But like recently, being engaged, it's all been happy.
No, since we've been dating in March, we haven't had any sort of fight.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
How long does the honeymoon phase last, Sean?
I think it's like 6 months to a year.
Yeah, it's about that.
And then what? I mean, Sean, I would love to hear your advice to Ashley because you've had this romantic love story play out on TV. We've all seen it. You and Caitlin are fully in love with each other. You have this glow that Ashley has right now. But we all know, and this is we all know that not it fades a little bit. That like honeymoon stage fades.
Yeah.
So what happens next?
Then you just become a regular couple like everybody else. Like people are surprised. They're always like, "Do you guys fight? Do you guys fight?" Or like, "Yeah, we just don't air the fights on Instagram and Snapchat."
Well, I think I was actually talking to Caitlin. I feel like Jared and I kind of did it in reverse. We had all our challenges in the as not a couple, but in the beginning. And now we've entered this honeymoon phase, which is so weird because normally the honeymoon phase happens for bachelor couples on the show, which it was definitely not for us. And then they get into the real world and it's like, oh, now we have to work stuff out. And it's not all a fairy tale like it happened on the show.
But it is the fun part because you really get to know that other person.
Yeah.
you guys haven't lived together before being engaged?
No.
Okay.
No. So we're just trying to figure out when we're going to do that.
Right.
I always said, like, I didn't want to live together until we're engaged, and now we're engaged.
Perfect.
Now we're like, okay, now we're thinking about it.
Will you put awesome. Your wedding on TV?
I think we're both down for it, but our caveat is that, like, we want the guests, we want as many guests as we want, and we don't want to be limited to that. So I think there'd have to be, like, we just, if we couldn't have it the way we imagined, that's the only reason.
I would be so pissed if your wedding's not on TV.
I mean, I'm sure.
If Ashley Iaconetti's wedding to Jared isn't on TV, I will be so disappointed.
We want it. We want it, but
I'm on the team. Let's
get everybody there.
Yeah, let's get everybody
there. And
those
that they don't invite, we'll just tell them the address, and then you can meet up after the ceremony for one big party.
Yeah. Okay.
Right? So
that works.
You don't have to worry about that.
Good old bachelor reunion of the good people. Would I be invited to the good people?
Oh, my God, Ben.
I hope so. Ashley, let's take a break here. We got to dig in to Sean for a little bit because he has a ton going on. But, Ashley, I got to tell you, as a friend of yours, as a friend of Jared, and Sean, feel free to add in here wherever you want. Love is a really beautiful thing, and it's really been, we joke about it, I still will joke about it, I will make fun of you and tease at you forever, because just that's who we are and how we operate here, but I could not be just almost blown away at the progression of what's happened, and knowing a year ago, sitting here and
so
looking
weird.
Through my phone before the podcast, because I want to see what was happening a year ago in this podcast, and knowing that we were trying to set you up with athletes, that we literally, I remember there was a day here where you were sensitive to Jared being brought up because you were just sick of it. You were tired of that question always being asked. And you're like, we're just friends that really care about each other. I'm going to get emotional because I know what this has been like for you. And I know that you really love this guy, and it's been fun to watch, obviously as a viewer, but from a person that knows this situation inside and out, I'm thrilled, and it's weird, but it's weird to sit here with you knowing that you are engaged, and I just cannot wait to sit here next to you for years to come, hearing about this relationship, celebrating with you, and allowing the world to celebrate with you. So, Ashley, congratulations. Please tell Jared congratulations.
I like manifested it from my brain. Isn't that weird? Everybody's
always
like,
don't say that. Sounds really weird.
No, everybody's like, how did it, like, it's so crazy how, like, you kind of, like, it just happened the way it worked out the way you wanted when nobody thought so. And I'm just like, I always believe in the power of positive thinking. And I was just like, no, maybe.
Done a lot of thinking. hey, speaking of thinking, something that takes zero thinking, zero skill. It's just kind of handed to you. It's a gift that just keeps on giving. I want to tell you about Blue Apron. Blue Apron delivers fresh, pre-portioned ingredients and step-by-step recipes right to your door that can be cooked in under 45 minutes. The menu changes every week based on what's in season, and is designed by Blue Apron's in-house culinary team. Blue Apron offers 12 new recipes each week, and customers can pick 2, 3, or 4 recipes based on what best fits their schedule. Blue Apron sends only non-GMO ingredients and meat with no added hormones. Ashley, are you going to be cooking Blue Apron with Jared?
Definitely. Definitely, definitely.
I thought so. Was that a Blue Apron that you threw on the table last night?
It was so good too. Yeah. They have like the most creative recipes. It's not just like steak, it's like super marinated steak.
I love super marinated steak.
I know
it's so juicy. Blue Apron delivers farm fresh ingredients and step-by-step recipes to your door. Blue Apron achieves this by supporting a more sustainable food system, setting the highest standards for ingredients, and building a community of home chefs. Blue Apron is teaming up with best-selling cookbook author Chrissy Teigen to bring you some of her favorite recipes to make at home.
Chrissy's
Teigen?
The best, and you're like friends with her.
I know.
Yeah,
she's grabbed my butt once on Lip Sync Battle. It's one of my pride and joy moments, which comes out July 19th.
Oh, July 19th.
July 19th.
Damn, I thought it was June.
Yeah, you can see me shirtless in a wig. I don't think I can share it.
Okay.
I do know, I will say the first song was Call Me Maybe.
It's a good one.
It was a pleasure to watch.
Yeah, I do take my shirt off.
Ooh, I need to watch this now.
Yeah, Sean, we're going to talk about that because I need some help with that later. Anyways, how in the world, just to pause here, in Blue Apron, you are incredible. Chrissy Teigen, you are incredible. How is she now a cookbook author? She is everything. She's an advocate, a lobbyist. She's a wife, a mother, a host.
A model.
A model. Jeez, son of a gun. Get ready for 6 weeks of wildly fun, flavorful cooking featuring recipes like garlic and soy glazed shrimp with charred broccoli and hot green pepper sauce and sesame chicken noodles with bok choy. Did we mention you don't have to step foot in the grocery store? That's the best part. So check out this week's menu and get your first three meals at blueapron.com/almostfamous. That's blueapron.com/almostfamous to get your first three meals free. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. Sean Booth in
Ben
studio.
Higgins.
Hey, Sean, before we start just grilling you with questions, and I have a lot. do you have any real advice here, a minute for Ashley entering into this world of engagement? What's the season like?
That's a loaded question right there.
That's why we
asked
it.
I don't think that they need advice.
Okay.
Right? I think just go with your heart and your gut and don't listen to any of the outside world and just be both of your loving selves. You guys are not going to have a problem. And just have fun. I think that's what me and Caitlin did right after the show. Mm-hmm. Everybody saw that. We had a ton of fun. Try not to take everything too serious. And I think it'll be a little bit easier because you won't have to see your past relationships on TV with Jared when...
Yeah, we've already fought all that out.
You've already fought that out. Yeah. You guys are going to be great. So I'm looking forward to seeing how it all unfolds.
Thank you.
It's such a weird season of life. I mean, we've all now been there, right? We've all been engaged.
Yeah, isn't that weird?
Yeah, it is.
All but, from the show.
How
crazy.
From the show.
Here we are sitting in this. We've all found love from the show.
We did. And it is a weird season. I think, Sean, you said it best. Like, you have to lighten things up. You got to first be on each other's team because it, from all sides, it feels heavy. Luckily for you and Jared, Ashley, I think that the heaviness of this all has kind of been
totally
fought through.
Yeah. Exactly. Now it's light.
Now it's light.
So weird.
Yeah, this is like the happy ending, right? For being coming off that show, it was like the beginning.
Yeah.
I never thought we'd get here. I honestly was like, I told her, I was like, I remember we were talking one day, maybe a year and a half ago. I was like, you literally love this guy. He's like in your apartment half the time and like nothing's happening. Like, do you kiss? Do you hold hands? She's like, no, we just like talk and hang out.
High fives. That's it. All day.
You'll talk to him about that one day. Cause he's like, I would sleep on the day bed and I'd be like, should I go in her room? I'm like, you were thinking that?
Should he have?
Oh, yeah.
Sean, speaking of teammates, how's your teammate? How's Caitlin?
She's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's doing great. She says hello. She wishes she could be here. She's a busy lady.
She is.
She is very busy.
Different plane every 4 days,
oh,
I feel, on average.
It's insane. So when she comes home, she usually sleeps for about 26 hours straight and then hops on another plane. But no, she's doing great. She's got the podcast, obviously. She's killing it with that. She just launched her Scrunchy line.
I saw
that. She's starting a wine label as well. So, I mean, she's got a lot going on.
Mm-hmm. What do you have going on right now? You have Booth Camp.
Booth Camp.
Tell us all about Booth Camp.
Booth Camp app. Yes, I've been working on this for the past year. It's a fitness and nutrition app. I'm just trying to help out as many people as I possibly can. Daily workouts you can do from home, meal plans, including plant-based. There's a community for support. So you can create a profile, post some pictures. I can go in there and give some words of encouragement, playlists, all that fun stuff. So it's like having me as a personal trainer right in the palm of your hand.
Playlist? Do you come up with the music?
I do. I make my own music.
What?
I'm just playing.
He's a disc jockey as well on the side.
To go according to each workout?
Yeah, they can, like, they'll have the workout pulled up, and then they can hit a button that says Sean's favorite playlist, and you click on that, and you can work out to that music. A lot of Backstreet Boys.
That sounds really cool, actually.
Caitlin was telling me how you've now turned her into a vegetarian. I don't know how you do it. I want to be. I would love to be.
Yeah.
But cheeseburgers, you say no to cheeseburgers.
No cheeseburgers.
No
haven't
tacos.
Had meat since October. I do tacos, just with no meat.
There's, okay.
We do black bean burgers, which we've actually found to like more than regular burgers.
No.
I know. I'm telling you, I never thought that I would say that either. But there's so many options out there now, plant-based. That's 2018. Almost every restaurant is starting to, you know, have some plant-based food on their menu. So it's definitely a lot easier than people think.
Are you vegan?
I did the vegan thing for probably 4 or 5 months. And that's like a whole nother lifestyle, though.
Tell us how your body feels. Because Caitlin said she feels so much energy now that she doesn't eat meat anymore.
Yeah, a lot of people feel that. And I felt that as well. But I've always been pretty conscious of what I put in my body. So I didn't see like a drastic change, right? But I think for people who have some trouble with eating, they kind of switch to this plant-based plan, they definitely feel a lot more energy, feel a little bit cleaner, just a whole better feeling.
What convinced you to do this?
I was getting asked a lot by my clients and people on social media, how do you feel about plant-based? What should I do for plant-based? And I started noticing that more and more people were wanting to see that. And before I recommend anything to any of my clients, I want to try it out first and make sure that I know exactly what I'm talking about and what I'm doing before I recommend anybody doing that. So I was like, I'm going to try this plant-based thing out. And then just went with it. Haven't stopped.
So, I mean, for this app that you're doing, you've tried out all this stuff. I mean, this is your music that you've chosen. This is your workouts.
My exercises, my meals. Yeah.
I mean, for somebody like me, you're sitting here probably looking at me going like, yeah, that guy's got nice arms. Solid back muscles.
Exactly. Wait for you to take off your shirt.
Yeah.
Like, what can we really do to enhance this?
Yeah,
what
can enhance this? All right.
What would we do to enhance? I mean, would this app work for me?
Yeah, of course. We can get you doing some HIIT cardio, which is my favorite type of way to shed some pounds that you don't want, even though you don't need to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You have like a wedding diet for me?
Yeah, you can go on this. This would be perfect for wedding prep. A lot of these, the workouts that I put were for those type of people in mind. Stay-at-home moms, people looking to get ready for their weddings. I know how busy everybody is. A lot of people don't have time. They don't want to go to the gym. So you could pop this app on, do some workouts in your home, 30, 45 minutes, you'll be good to go.
So, I mean, this is kind of the new wave of personal training, right? I don't know how to say this without it. Everybody that comes on The Bachelor for a few years was a personal trainer.
Yeah, we had like five on our season.
We had five on our season. You are a legitimate personal trainer. I mean, you are investing your life into this app and a few other things on the side, right?
Yes. Yep. I've been training before the show, right after I got off the show, and obviously being fortunate enough to get that following from the show, I just wanted to help out as many people as possible. And so that's what I'm doing. I've definitely taken that as my 9-to-5, even more than that.
So you can find this Booth Camp app, and I will do this just a second here. We got to talk a little bit about Caitlin's season. Sean was my steadfast rock during Caitlin's season. He might not know.
We were bunk buddies.
We were bunk buddies through the whole season. I don't think I make it through Caitlin's season without him. And I mean that. I really don't. And I think he could probably admit that he doesn't think I'd make it through either.
I appreciate that. I feel the same. There was it's crazy because people always ask how weird it was and how are you friends with these guys that were dating the same girl. It's like, well, that's how we got through it all. We used each other for support. Mm-hmm. And that's always what I say. I walked away from that show with Caitlin and also a group of friends that I'll get to have for the rest of my life. So it's a crazy experience. But we roomed together.
Every place.
Every place we went until the final through. Then we had to separate and go our own ways for the last 2 weeks. But up until that last date, we were still going to bed next to each other. It'd be like we'd hop in bed. I'd be laying in bed. It'd be like 2 or 3 in the morning. Ben would come home from a date. I'd be like, how was it? Well, there was only one time and it got to the very end and we were very supportive. He came back from like the last date and I was like, I don't even want to hear about it, Ben. This is like 2 weeks before the engagement.
I was like, don't worry, Sean. We just talked about you the whole time. This is funny. I don't think I've ever talked about this. I'm sure I've told Sean. We had to leave and break up. Nick, Sean, and I were in separate locations in Ireland and we came to a rose ceremony. We each had a hotel room and it was separate and I got to go work out in the gym. The gym had windows that faced outside and I hadn't seen Sean for 2 weeks. I saw Sean walk through the parking lot and I got really giddy. Like I got really excited. I wanted to scream up and bang on the window. Sean, hey, Sean, I'm right here.
You start to feel like that because you don't see anybody. You're with your producer and that's it for weeks. And like, I remember we'd walk into a rose ceremony and we'd be like so happy and like smiling to see one another.
Yeah.
You have that effect on men though. Cause if I say Sean Booth to Jared, he gets all giddy too. Yeah. He's all like, hee, Sean.
I think Sean has that effect on a lot of people.
But you know what's so funny that I'm sitting with the two of you. He doesn't say it anymore because, you know, we're engaged. But whenever I'm like, you know that you're the best man in the world. You know that you are just such a good man. He used to say, Sean Booth and Ben Higgins are better than me.
And that's why he's the better man. Yeah. He says that. That's classic Jared.
He was
he's
like,
the best.
My dad, Sean, and Ben.
That's unbelievable.
What a guy.
Just good dudes here. Hey, Sean, we're going to have to say goodbye to you. You got a flight to catch. You get back to Nashville. I want to respect that time. But there's one looming question that I have. I don't know if you've been watching Becca's season of The Bachelorette yet. You've always been a man of style. you really have. And that's not, you just, you have style. I've learned a lot from you when it comes to your boots, your jeans, your suits, whatever.
Mr. Ryan Gosling.
Mr. Ryan Gosling. Yeah. There's a new thing, Ashley, that, and we'll talk more about this later, but before Sean goes, I got to ask him. There's this new thing where these guys are going like three buttons down on their, with a suit jacket. So it's a suit jacket and then their dress shirt is like three buttons down, almost to their belly button. And it's like open. Now these guys are all ripped. So they're not doing it unless they're jacked. Sean, is that a new thing? Should I be doing that?
I feel like it's the opposite. I feel like more guys are going buttoned all the way up.
Oh, there's
with
that
no tie.
Too. There's the very top, yeah. Or there's the bottom.
Yeah. And then on our season, I was doing like one or two buttons.
Yeah.
And I would always tell Chris Strandberg, great guy. Talk about good guys. We were talking about fashion, just everything on the show. I'm like, Chris, just remember, when they zig, you zag. So I was trying to do opposite of what everybody else was doing. So if you guys were wearing suits and ties, I was wearing a shirt unbuttoned with my jacket unbuttoned. Trying to be a little bit different to stick out.
And knowing Chris and his love for you, he probably followed right along. Sean, you got to get on your flight. Go get on your flight, man. Thank you so much for coming
to
the podcast.
Thank you guys for having me. This was fun.
So
congrats, Ashley.
Thank you.
And before we go, download the Booth Camp app. It's available on Android and the iTunes store. You can get it at www.boothcampapp.com. If you want to get fit, if you want to be in shape, if you want to see Sean's face more often, go get the app. Sean, thanks.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
I really love that guy, Sean.
He's, seriously? He's like a little, like, Ken doll. He's like a Ken, like, he's like Mr. Jim Ken doll.
Do you think he means to be as, like, suave as he is?
He's strapping.
He's one of a kind.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of guys like him.
No, he's cool. He's real. He defines cool.
You know, I like to do this in the airport. I was stuck in the airport for 7 hours yesterday. And I'm so sorry. There's
Wait,
a
what?
Guy who, like, literally, you know, when you see somebody from a distance, you're like, not that they're somebody, but like they have a presence about them. Uh-huh. Like when they're in a room, you know it.
Oh, yeah.
Sean has that.
Oh, he does.
Yeah, he has that. Jared has that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think this is a jawline. She's got a great jawline. Anyways, I'm distracted here. Ashley.
Yeah.
It's been a few sleeps since you've gotten engaged.
It's been eight sleeps.
It's been eight sleeps. Mm-hmm. All of them have been great.
All of them have been. Yeah.
Not just because Jared's nearby.
Have you been sleeping alone?
No, we only slept alone one night since we got engaged. And it felt really weird, as in I cried when I dropped him off. At his place.
There's so much love.
Yeah,
here.
But the thing is, like, Jared was the one who started the mush fest. He may have not had tears fall off his face, but it was close.
No,
oh my God.
I mean, I'm happy for you, but this is getting a lot.
Ben and I are gonna throw up.
I know, yeah. I'm sorry. We like really have a tendency to make people like be on the borderline of throwing up and just really gushy.
Your Instagram's making me want to puke.
I'm not sorry. Lie. I know. We'll tone it down. If you guys want us to tone it down,
I'm taking a social media break because of us.
Hey. Even though Jared's far away and he's not nearby, Sleep Number will always be there for you. You've heard you talk about my Sleep Number bed and how it's my partner every night.
It cuddles you to sleep. It just coddles you.
It does. And it's improved my sleep quality. Ashley, when I come to L.A., I sleep on my best friend and his wife's couch.
Yeah.
Which has been great. It's absolutely incredible, but it's not my Sleep Number. Maybe you've considered a Sleep Number bed, but thought you couldn't afford one, but you can. But can you really afford another restless night's sleep? I don't think so. So before you do anything, you've got to go to a Sleep Number store to experience adjustable comfort. For a limited time only, queen mattresses start at only, this is insane.
No, this is insane.
$599.
That is insane.
Great deal. Smart. Effortless and comfortable, just like Jared is. The Sleep Number bed lets you adjust your mattress firmness or softness on each side whenever you like. It's the perfect bed for couples. I'm just in a loving mood today. You can actually feel how it contours to your neck, shoulders, backs, and hips, and for more proper spinal alignment. At a Sleep Number store, you can see the science behind your Sleep Number setting with the individual fit pressure mapping technology. Nothing compares with finding your just right comfort and pressure relieving support. And as I think about a Sleep Number, and as I repeat, you know, kind of what I was thinking there, I just want to remind you, you can actually feel how it contours to your neck, shoulders, back, and hips. If you say that sensually, in my head right now, I do picture Jared.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you're picturing yourself in your Sleep Number.
No.
And how you find it almost romantic.
Just think of, you know, yeah, never mind. Come in now, the lowest price of the season, where it's the final closeout in a Sleep Number Queen C2 mattress with adjustable comfort on both sides. Now, again, only $599.99. You'll only find Sleep Number at any of the 550 Sleep Number stores nationwide. Visit sleepnumber.com to find the store nearest to you. Ashley.
Yeah, Ben.
I'm loving this season of The Bachelorette.
It's good. And last night's episode made me question whether I have the best two-on-one of all time anymore.
I was thinking the same thing. It's just funny how similar it was to yours.
Yeah, I mean, I was in my apartment with Nick and Jared, and I'm like, you guys, was it better than mine? I think it was better than mine.
What'd they say?
They tried to recreate it. Well, Nick was like, well, Ashley, you were the original, so, like, technically, yours was so great that now they have to put people back in a desert.
Nick would think that way. He knows what he's talking about. He's a smart guy. You know what? I don't know how I feel about this David guy.
Yeah.
We're going to talk.
Your mic's not on yet, David. We can talk about you.
I can say, too, the chicken suit was totally ridiculous.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Actually, I find this chicken suit to be the least ridiculous of all the things that David has done at this point.
Hey, guys, David's in studio with us right now. Hey, David. How you doing, man?
Thank you guys for having me.
What's it feel like to have two Bachelor icons talk crap about you right to your face?
Love it. It's great. First of all, congratulations.
Thank
Ashley.
You.
So happy for you and
Jared. Why not again? Let's just give her another clap.
So happy for
you
guys. Amazing.
All right, David, here's our only request. This is a safe place. Sorry. Nothing will happen here that is not honest and truthful. We just want you to take a deep breath, relax, and hang out with us. We just want to talk Bachelorette, and we got a lot to talk about. I mean, here's the truth of it all. Your one-on-one date was one of the most awkward things I've ever watched.
Two-on-one.
Is that what that was?
Yeah.
Never took the opportunity to go on a one-on-one.
So we call that.
me neither. On The Bachelor, me neither. So.
But before we start with your two-on-one date, we do have to break down the episode a little real quick.
Oh, yeah.
And feel free to chime in where you want.
We want your opinions on all these guys.
We need
lots of opinions.
Okay.
Okay. So we're going to start the conversation about last night's episode. With the one-on-one with Colton.
Mm-hmm. It was actually pretty uneventful.
I agree.
Yeah.
Not a lot going on there.
No, that drama's gone.
What is it? I mean, I know Colton.
Yeah.
I like Colton.
Me too.
Nice guy.
Yeah.
I think he got himself in a little hot water there at the beginning of this thing. Mm-hmm. It's a little confusing on how he ended up there. We understand that. Mm-hmm. But I'm expecting big things from Colton and Becca's relationship.
Yeah.
I'm not feeling it.
I'm feeling attraction. I'm not sure how deep it's going to run.
Attraction from both sides?
Mm-hmm. Yes, but I also feel like she likes him more than he likes her.
He is really good looking. I mean,
yeah, he's very good.
Yeah. I don't know if you go on the show and you aren't at least somewhat good looking.
Make a good point.
Yeah, you're a good looking guy.
I appreciate you're better looking, but I appreciate it.
We'll play this game all day. Yeah. Okay, so you're with me.
Do you agree?
Yeah, okay. I agree. I'm not feeling it. It was weird to me. Some of these dates, Becca comes off of and she's like, I'm so into him. He's making me giggle. He's making me laugh. Blake. Yeah. I think I feel that with Blake and
okay,
her.
So Blake and her, I feel like are on the same page. They both like each other equally.
Yeah.
That gave me a little tingle. Like when they loved each other, Ben, did you get a little something?
Yeah, I love you.
Feeling when they, and he's like, I'm falling for you. And then in her confessional, she's like, I'm falling in love with him too.
Yeah, it's weird. Yeah. You're feeling it. You know, that's what I love. That's what we were missing for years on this show. I think for the last couple of years was that moment where you're like, I can relate. I'm there. I feel what they're feeling. I don't think I've felt that in a few years on this show.
Not with me and Jared.
I haven't watched you on TV yet.
You've been watching me? You've never seen me on TV?
Well, no, I have, but I'm just saying, like, I haven't seen this proposal. I'm sure I'm going to be bawling.
Oh, I'm kidding. Okay. Yeah. I'm just sorry.
Okay, so we'll sum it up here because I do want to get to David. We have a lot to talk about, David. The one-on-one with Colton, great, fine, grand.
Fine.
Going to keep going.
He opened up a little.
Nothing crazy. The group date. Group date had Wills, Blake, John. Don't even know who John is. I know he can climb a tree fast.
John made his debut in this episode.
Yeah.
He's apparently really good at chopping wood.
Yeah.
Gets a trophy.
Yeah. Was that this episode?
That was last week.
That was last week.
I'm an idiot.
Yeah.
They do blur. This was singing with Wayne Newton.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Wayne Newton.
You know, this is when you know you're not a captivating character, is when you can literally win a group date and you still don't know who they are.
Who won the group date this time?
John last week. And we still don't know who he is.
Oh, John won last week. But who won this week, technically?
Blake. Obviously,
Blake. Well, Blake won the group date rose because he said, I love you. But she didn't crown anybody as far as the songwriting goes.
No, Chris. I heard Chris.
Well, Chris did well. Chris did so well, and which is why he decided not to go up to her during the cocktail party later that evening.
Yeah.
He was like, I did so well. She should be begging you to talk to me. That's a mistake. Mm-hmm. That was bad. Got Chris in a very tricky situation.
He went off the rails.
He did. He
He's
lost
imploding. Wait, Ben, I have a question for you as a guy.
Yes.
When you're witnessing that happening, like a guy that's clearly derailing, what are you thinking? Like, oh, bro.
During the shows, I'm typically thinking I have a front row seat to what everybody is never going to believe watching this back. Like, it's the most beautiful thing when you're on one of these shows and you're like, if I step in here, it's just going to get worse. There's nothing I can do personally other than maybe pull him aside when he calms down. But I'm sitting at a cocktail party. This has happened. Watching something happen with my own eyes. And I'm like, I get a front row seat at one of the most dramatic, one of the most terrible situations ever.
Wow.
So outside of Chris, like, going off the rails here and everybody watching it, there's one thing I've learned during this episode. It might be one of the most surprising things. Wayne Newton is really rich. Like, very wealthy.
That's surprising to you?
No.
And
not at all.
What is smooth skin, Wayne Newton?
Oh, yeah. Lots of fillers.
Yeah.
But a very lovely wife, which I weirdly Googled how long have they been married. I got curious.
Yeah.
Two months.
No. Almost 30 years.
Oh, my gosh.
94, 04, 14, 25 years.
Damn.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Nice.
Wayne Newton, he settled it down.
He is a stud. And the one other thing we learned, and I think we'll all agree with this, I really like Blake. I'm a big Blake fan.
Yeah, he's so sweet. I feel like she should be with him. I really do.
You think that's the one at the end?
I don't know if that's the one at the end, but at this point, that's where I'm feeling the most genuine relationship is.
Typically during the show, 2 weeks in, or 3 weeks in, whatever we are.
Oh, we're actually 5 weeks in.
5 weeks in, and somebody's saying, I love you, or I'm falling in love with
it's
you. I'm like, oh, come on.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
This is a lot. The pressures are on you. Everybody else that said it so far, I've been like, I don't believe it. When Blake says it, I believe it.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, like when John Blanc said it.
Well, John Blanc said it. Obviously, he admitted that it wasn't real.
Exactly.
Awkward.
That was weird.
Blake is just an honest, genuine guy, though. He's great.
Yeah.
We can all agree.
Yeah, let's get a little background from David on what these guys are like.
Yeah, so tell us about Blake.
Blake's great. You know, prior to the show, Blake and I had worked out at the same gym in Denver.
No way.
So, like, I knew Blake and knew he's a great guy. And, you know, off camera and whatnot, he's just an easy guy to hang out with. He's just another guy, another bro. Awesome dude. And I knew that he was starting to fall for Becca. You know, in Vegas before the 2-on-1, we were hanging out and, you know, we were talking about what our connections are like. And I knew it. I mean, I knew that he was in it to win it, honestly. He loved her very, very quickly.
How do I get in on this gym in Denver?
Orange Theory.
Oh. This group stuff kind of
freaks
me out.
You guys knew each other beforehand.
We'd worked out half a dozen times.
Okay.
And there were rumors that we were both going to be on the show, and we never really talked about it. But when I walked into the house in a chicken suit, I saw Blake. I was like, hey, what's up, man? It's just nice to know someone already.
Oh, I bet. That'd be awesome.
It's comforting.
It's very comforting. I could imagine. Not that I know.
I was also in a chicken suit.
We got to talk about Lincoln. Like, the guy makes me feel weird. Like, I honestly feel weird watching him between, well, you know, the pooping rumors. Well, now there's, of course, like, the other, you know, the bad, well, can you confirm or deny?
Can't confirm or deny. I've heard things.
Now there's a, you know, cruise ship thing, and I have to say, I could imagine that man hitting on me on a cruise ship and then not letting it go. And then there is now the world is flat. He thinks the world is flat.
It was bizarre. I was sitting on the couch during that conversation, and I had my hands in my head, or my head in my hands. I was sitting there just, what is happening? What is this conversation? The conversation just went off the rails. But, you know, if there's one guy that I'm sitting there thinking, like, does this guy actually believe the earth is flat? I wouldn't put it past Lincoln.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, how does he believe the earth is flat? I mean, we have pictures of it.
I know.
From Earth. Like, what is he thinking?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of surprising things out there. Life gets weird.
Oh my God.
But the earth is not flat.
No.
The earth is not flat.
I would pay $1 million to know what's really going on inside Ben's head right now, because he's got an inner dialogue. No. You guys should see his face.
I mean, there's just a lot going on. outside of the Lincoln thing, because that guy, when we talk about things that, I guess, the show exposing dark secrets, people are out to criticize and analyze you after the show. It's happening to him. And you know what? It sounds like, for the most part, it should happen. I hope he learns lessons from this experience. His ghosts or skeletons are now out of the closet, which has happened with a lot of people. It feels like during the show, though, that Chris had some skeletons that are now coming out.
I'm glad you said that, because I totally wasn't done talking about Chris.
I'm not at all. There's so much there that I want to learn. I don't know if you can look back, and we can pull back this first episode. And I'm not right. I said I have a weird feeling about Chris.
Me too. Okay, yeah. So I didn't like Chris in the first episode, and then on his one-on-one, I was like, oh, wait, I judged this guy wrongly. And mm-hmm. Now that first episode, Chris is coming back
in. Was he the tattletale?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was Mr. Wrong Reasons Police the first day, first and episode. Then you took his title.
Yeah, David.
I did take the title.
We're not there yet, though.
The
we're not there yet.
Talker never wins.
Yeah, keep we're going. Not there yet. So, okay, so with Chris... If we break down Chris right now, I have a question. On the first night, one of the most disrespectful things I've ever heard on the show was said, and it didn't become a big deal. I don't know how. It was where somebody got out of the limo and they said, hey, in a relationship...
That wasn't him.
It wasn't him?
No, that was Camille.
That was Camille, the 64.
Yeah, the 64. Okay, never mind then. I didn't know if that was Chris or not. So with Chris, David, in your opinion, what is happening with him? Tell us about the pressure cooker you guys were under. Like, why is his real personality starting to shine?
I mean, I think we hit on it a little earlier. He's just starting to lose himself. Mm. I think he's a nice, honest, genuine guy. I really do. But in the competitive scenario, in the in the Bachelorette, he is just starting. He's starting to lose himself. He's starting to lose his mind a little bit. That's as honest as it gets. I mean, he's a great guy, though. He really is. I just think that he is kind of tunnel vision right now.
Yeah.
And you can see that when he goes to interrupt Will's. And he's trying to get his time with Becca. And it's like, dude, just take a step back. And...
You're not doing yourself any favors.
No,
yes.
Not at all.
But I want to know, when you're on the show, guys, did you experience that where you get up in your head so bad? Because that seems to be what's happening to him.
Yeah, I mean, I never got inside my own head.
Oh, really?
I hurt my head, but I never got inside it.
David, we got a lot to process through with you in a second.
We have a lot to talk about.
This is going to be a counseling session, therapy session. You got inside your own head, buddy.
Yeah, I mean.
Definitely got inside your own head.
I had fun.
You call it fun. I call it great TV.
Exactly.
All right. With Chris, we talked about last week, one of my pet peeves is anybody that self-describes himself.
Right.
Or self-compliments.
He did it. I saw it. I was like, ding, ding, ding. There it is. That's Ben's annoyance. And now I get it. It's annoying.
Are you getting it? Because last week I couldn't figure out if I was wrong or not with this. Like, I just knew it annoyed
me. You did it too.
What did I do?
No, it's in my notes too. We're going to get to David.
David.
We have a lot to talk about.
I just want you to know that we are playing with you right now.
I love it. I love it.
You will walk out of here with a smile on your face, I promise.
And a better, already smiling.
And a better person because of it.
I predict you being like the next Evan, and turned out well with Evan.
Oh.
Hey, I like that.
You are really tan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're really tan.
So Garrett is still a front runner. We are starting to see Garrett and Becca's relationship blossom and form. We can take, I'd say now, if we gave our top four to kind of close this episode out. Good episode. Some lull parts of it, mostly I think Colton's 1-on-1 wasn't exactly exciting, but it needed to be shown.
Totally.
If we ranked our top three, my top three in order, from least likely to be with Becca to most likely at this point, I would say Colton 3, Blake 2, Garrett 2, Blake 1.
Okay. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
You think is anybody else in there sneaking in?
No. Well, who I think will sneak in? When I'm looking at this list of the guys who remain, I think Jason. I love Jason. He's got such a nice temperament, nice personality. He's the one that looks a little bit like Milo Ventimiglia, and then he has the slick back hair.
Yes,
Andrew. What's his name? Keegan.
Yes, yeah. I know who he is.
I like him.
Mm-hmm. He's a good guy. I actually got to talk to him on the phone.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Everybody goes to Ben for advice.
Yeah,
everyone.
Ben, how do you know everyone on this season already?
He's the Godfather.
I might have missed how you know Colton.
He lives in Denver.
So if you live in Denver, you know.
Yeah, he lives in Denver. So there's three guys from Denver. Jason, you know, I think after the show, which is nice for these guys to give me a call to talk through it, it's a whirlwind of an experience. And I take it as a huge compliment that they're like, hey, what is this going to look like? And my advice is pretty simple. And I can share it on a different podcast. Maybe we can have a little segment where I can share the advice I give.
Yeah.
It's different for each guy. But, yeah, it's really nice to get to know them a little bit. Just to hear who they are and where they're at. Actually, I mean, I told you guys this. I talked to my very first time ever doing this was with the Waboom guy.
I know. I will never forget.
Yeah, that worked out well for me. hey, okay. So, David.
So, let's get to you now.
It's on you. Thanks. Ashley and I have a rapid fire line of questioning. I need to say this up front, okay? It was wacky. It was odd. It was awesome.
Good TV.
And it's great TV. And so here's the thing. Here's my one rule. I just ask for complete honesty. Well, on this podcast, we've admitted many times our mistakes during this show. We've cried on TV. We fell in love on TV. We've told multiple people we love them on TV. We've made mistakes. I did. Yeah. Thanks. Yeah. Yeah, thanks, Ash. Yeah. I've never done that. I just need your honesty.
100% honesty. Get
okay. I'm going to start out here because I just need to get out of the way. Two things that bother me in your actions during this two-on-one date. One, you self-describe yourself. If you listen to last week's episode, it was my one pet peeve in life. It was my, we have a little segment on here called like Ben Bitches, and it's what really fires me up. And it's when people self-describe themselves. There's a lot more to that. So you did that. So obviously, I just got to tell you. Yeah, that.
0-for-1.
Yeah, 0-for-1.
No, you did that.
Second thing here is you called out Jordan. Which was good. It seemed like it needed to happen because I think we saw that the house was celebratory of him leaving. So there's something happening there. But you used your time to do it thinking that it would progress your relationship with Becca. So those are the two things I got to throw out there. Now we'll release the hounds on you. For the sake of the show, my hound is Ashley Iaconetti, soon to be not Ashley Iaconetti.
Isn't that funny? We're going to be Ashley H.
Ashley, go at him.
Okay, so when I interviewed you for Access, I thought you were so approachable. You're such a good guy that you're, you know, I thought you were going to be like classic good guy. And I even remember asking, I was like, are you going to be a villain? No, you could never be a villain. And then you went in and you had done so much research. I remember you had like binge watched the past year of episodes.
A little bit.
And you apparently didn't learn that the right reasons police never gets far.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't necessarily, I wasn't policing as much as I was just being myself, being honest, being me. And I'm the kind of person that wears my feelings on my sleeve. And, you know, we can talk about Jordan and kind of what went down on the 2-on-1. But, you know, I felt like it was something that Becca needed to know. She only gets to see glimpses of us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we live together in the house. We breathe together. We eat together. And, you know, Becca only gets to see glimpses of us. I mean, she got to see a lot of the golden underpants in Jordan. But I felt like I just felt like someone needed to be the voice of reason in that sense and let her know who, you know, Jordan actually was.
So I feel like neither of you are technically villains. I don't even think this season mm-hmm. really has a villain.
I
think he was foolish and you were even maybe more foolish for creating such a stink over him. You say that you're honest and genuine, and I need to know, did he really say he was settling, or was that something that you really kind of fabricated based on things you were seeing?
Well, first, I just self-described myself again.
I know.
So, I was going to say I'm something, sorry. But that would have been way too mean.
Sorry.
I couldn't do it. I wanted to so bad.
I know. When I was reading it off my notes, I was like, oh, no.
I mean, I'm sitting here like defending myself and self-describing myself. What am I doing?
It's okay.
So, yeah, I mean, the settling thing was It was, you know, him. He did say this. He said this stuff off camera. It was, we were walking through the hotel in Vegas.
Okay.
And, you know, he was just talking about how other girls were looking at him and approaching him and, you know, wanted to, he was interested. And I felt like he wasn't necessarily taking Becca with the level of respect that she deserves. And he, for a guy that takes himself as seriously as he does, didn't really take the whole process too seriously. Mm-hmm. And that's what rubbed me the wrong way throughout the entire experience and process.
You know, sitting here with you right now and hearing that, it brought me back to a time where I was like, no, this is really happening. This is really happening. But like, the more you talk about it, the bigger the hole you're digging yourself. And you just have to be like, okay, Ashley, I know the truth, but you're going to have to bury it and never talk about it again. It's not helping you.
Mm-hmm. It's the wisdom in the unsaid. And so I think there is some wisdom, especially on this show, in the things that you choose not to say. And I think in life, we can see that with life, is there's some things that are happening around us that are not detrimental to anybody necessarily. You know, if they're not hurting somebody personally, then we just choose not to talk about it or say it because it's just going to cause a larger issue. It's going to open up that can of worms that we don't want to open up. And in this scenario, I think your biggest mistake, maybe your only mistake, was that you opened up the can of worms.
100%.
Yeah.
Opened them up. They were oozing everywhere. Worms everywhere.
So now we're,
for sure.
So now we're just talking about the worms.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're just talking about the worms. I
mean, the whole show, just worms.
You guys had great bickering, though.
Like, it was good. I mean, he has good one-liners.
Oh, he does. I was going to say, can you admit that? Because they're good.
It's funny.
I
mean, he's a funny guy.
The chicken ran his beak too much and got his head chopped off.
That's good. That's good. He's funny.
Yeah.
He has these quick one-liners that they sit there and actually kind of funny. The professionality thing.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, his face is...
Who typically won your arguments?
I would say he won them.
Yeah.
He definitely, I mean, he...
He's big of you, man.
Yeah.
I'm really proud of you,
arguments. See, we're learning already. Yeah. We're out here learning.
This makes you so likable now because you can just laugh at yourself.
You have to. You have to sit back and laugh at all the things you did and, you know, learn from the things you did too.
Mm-hmm.
Do I have any regrets? Absolutely not. No regrets. But it was fun.
Can I ask you all something?
Mm-hmm.
When you're watching, and I'm watching Jordan, what goes into my mind is this guy for real? Thoughts?
I said that, I think, the first week was, this is the very, or second week, I said it was the very first time ever watching this show that I felt like there was a plant.
Yeah.
Like there was a character involved in the show because I've never met anybody like Jordan. But the more and more I watched him, there was moments where I liked him.
Yeah.
He was funny. He had a joy about him. He was a character. He took himself very serious.
Yeah.
You know, and you don't see that very often where somebody is so confident that they'll take themselves so serious to talk about how good they look.
I know. So funny.
When he did the model faces at dinner and then asked for somebody to get his
portfolio.
I mean, we just had Sean Booth in here, maybe one of the best looking people on the planet. And he doesn't talk about how good looking he is. Like Sean Booth. Why do we call him first last name?
I don't know. There is something about Sean Booth. He will always have the first
last
name.
Sean would never talk about himself like that. It was odd. That would drive me crazy. Okay, David.
Narcissistic tendency.
Where did it break down for you? Because this just wasn't just this episode. You had seen this become a theme throughout the last couple weeks. You had seen him get in your head. You let him get in your head. You let him break you down. I don't even know if he was meaning to. Where did it all go wrong for you? Why did you care? I don't know if I can. I'm going to say this. And if anybody's listening and they have an opinion opposite of me, please argue with me back. I felt like there was some sexual tension between the two of you.
Really? I honestly didn't pick up on that.
No? Yeah. Like the arguments. Like there was so much arguing back and forth. And it was at what point are they either going to fight? They're going to hug?
This is what I saw. I saw you get a glimmer in your eyes sometimes at the beginning of arguments, oh, yes, I'm excited to get into this. You almost liked it.
I don't mind. I'm not going to.
Maybe that's what I'm looking at.
Yeah.
There was this
There was a desire.
The desire.
Yeah.
It was the desire I think what I was looking for was there was a desire to argue with him. There was a desire to be in battle with
Jordan.
I'm not
going to
deny it.
Okay.
I think we look at Jordan and it's fun to bicker with him. I mean, you get some great one-liners out of it. You get some great commentary out of it. And I like poking the guy a little bit, having fun with him and, bringing that side out of him.
Mm-hmm.
And it was fun. I mean, I had fun with him.
So you can admit that there was a desire of some kind to argue and to be in communion and conversation with
Absolutely.
Jordan.
Absolutely.
Love it.
It was stimulating.
I knew it. That's
it.
That's what I was looking for.
We pinpointed it.
Yep.
Now, did the other guys have such a passionate dislike for him?
So, one of the things that was interesting to me was the house in general didn't really get along with Jordan. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can speak on behalf of the other guys there.
And obviously, we saw the reaction. Right. They were happy to see him go.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was the fact that he didn't necessarily take the entire process seriously. And that as people started developing feelings, you didn't want a guy that was walking around in underpants. Sure, I showed up in a chicken suit. But that's night one. Night one was a time for antics on and on. But I think he just rubbed the house the wrong way. And I have no problem speaking my mind, being honest. Just self-described myself again, but it was.
We're getting there. Yeah. It's a slow fade, man.
I mean, I'm getting there.
Yeah,
being honest is more of like a verb, like you know, the action of being honest. So that's a little different than like I'm an honest guy.
All right, I appreciate it. So I'm not necessarily self-describing myself anymore.
Yeah,
but
you're walking a thin line there.
And like I towed a thin line.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I'm comfortable with everything that I said to him and did, and you know, I'm glad that we kind of got to see. You know, the explosion from him, and that's really who he was. He kind of isolated himself in the house. Mm-hmm. We would all be sitting around the dinner table eating food, and he would be off to the side. And we were just like, why does he not want to get to know the rest of us? And that I think that's what rubbed us the wrong way as well, because we don't get to see our relationships with, you know, the other people's relationships with Becca. So I had no idea what they would talk about, and that's an interesting dynamic. I mean, I think that's one of the most interesting dynamics of the entire show. You have no idea the other guy's relationships with Becca.
Which is usually why we get along so well.
I 100% agree.
Yeah.
Jordan just didn't want to make friends. And it's like, how can you go through this entire experience and not walk away with any friends?
So you were almost taking on the role, not from the because you admitted earlier, you're like, I don't know if I was the wrong reasons police, or I don't want to be the police of anything. What you were really doing, and what I'm hearing, and this happens, and I respect this, I do, is you were protecting Becca.
100%.
Did it the wrong way.
It was looking out for her, making sure we all know what she went through. Mm-hmm. We all know she had tough time on the last season, and I didn't want to see her get hurt again. And I'm the kind of guy that self-describing myself again.
Hey, dude.
I'll stop.
But, you're good.
It was a sense of just feeling protective of her and making sure she didn't get hurt.
I mean, I've been in your situation a time or two, and I was, of course, put on the 2-on-1 because they knew that I was going to be the one that really didn't let it go.
Exactly.
And I had to say, like, dude, this girl is crazy.
Who was yours with?
Kelsey. Honestly, like on behalf of all the girls at home, she's saying things and not melding into. I said basically, I was like, we're confused that you like all of us and then you also like her.
Right.
Because she is not one of the same.
Got it.
So, were you surprised though that Becca gunned you first?
I knew the risks involved doing what I did. Obviously, I knew that there was a high potential of me going home first.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, you have to. I mean, in order to not get inside your own head, you have to weigh and balance. And I'm an analytical person. And you weigh and balance everything that's happening. And I knew that there was some potential of focusing on another guy instead of my relationship with Becca. Yeah. I knew there was the potential of going home. And I felt like that was more important than... and protecting her was more important than, you know, my potential relationship with her.
So did you like kind of feel like you guys weren't really going to happen? You weren't going to happen?
I mean, yeah, in a sense. I mean, I knew we didn't have a deep connection at that point. I had spent some time off of the show in the hospital, and I think that hurt my...
Overnight in the hospital for broken nose?
My brain was bleeding.
You had internal bleeding.
And, you know, like...
Mom, do we know that?
No,
breaking news.
Yeah. Can we take a quick break and then learn about the fall?
Yeah. Well, falling off the bed isn't fab or fun, but the FabFitFun box, it's pretty fab and it's definitely fun.
It's a stretch. Nice job.
Yeah, okay. FabFitFun is a seasonal subscription box. I know you guys know all about it at this point, but let me just reiterate. These are full-size beauty, fitness, fashion, and lifestyle products. It retails for $49.99, but with our code AlmostFamous, you're going to get it for $10 off of that, making it only $39.99. But guess what? The value of this box is over $200 and oftentimes over $300. So head over to FabFitFun.com, use our coupon code AlmostFamous for $10 off your first box. If you become a fan, which I know you will join Khloe Kardashian, Bethany Frankel, Martina McBride, Ashley Tisdale, Ashley Simpson, Nikki Reed, Aisha Curry, and me as other fans of this
Ashley
fabulous...
Haybon.
Ashley Haven as a fan of this box. The summer box is available now, so sign up before they sell out, and they always, always sell out. The summer box is absolutely unbelievable. They have a Yumi Kim makeup train case, which I've been using for traveling with makeup. A Foreo Luna, guys. This thing retails for over $75, and you're going to get it in this box. That's going to cost you way less than that. There's a cute summer and rose beach towel, Tarte makeup. There's a highlight, and then there's also an eyeshadow, depending on which box you get. And they're so good. And there's also a Pier 1 Imports marble ring dish, which I can, you know, put my new engagement ring on when I'm like cleaning the house or doing something that I shouldn't have it on for. Anyway, so if you haven't tried FabFitFun, you've got to try it. You're going to be addicted. The summer box is epic. Again, that is FabFitFun.com. Use the code ALMOSTFAMOUS so you can get $10 off your first box, making it only $39.99. FabFitFun.com, Almost Famous. Treat yourself, girl.
And boys.
And boys. I don't know if they're going to love it as much.
I don't know if the boys are using The makeup.
Some guys.
Yeah, why not? I do sometimes. I admitted that to somebody the other day. I said I travel with one of those eyelash things now, because back in the day,
a curler.
Well, Lauren used to have one, and she had me use it once for some reason, like put some like strengthening stuff in my eyelashes, and I was like,
oh, like Latisse, like
that feels good. And so now I just got one, and I don't use it as much as I like to, but when I do, I feel like I look good.
Wait, I'm confused. Are you using an eyelash curler or a serum, a growth serum?
No, just like the brush you would put like stuff onto your eyelashes with. I just brush out my eyelashes sometimes. Is that weird?
Ben,
that's not a curler.
I've just learned to love you more.
Really?
That is adorable of you.
Is it an eyebrow brush?
No, yeah, like an eyebrow brush. You know, like what they use for samples.
Yeah, it's just plain.
Stuff.
I don't have like black stuff on it.
No, like I was going to say, you want to use some clear gel? You can use some clear gel.
That's what she used to me do.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and now I just travel with it because I like it.
No! Is it your suitcase?
Yeah.
Does it look like
Ben,
this? I literally have to know. Does it look like this?
No, it's like when you dip into like it, I
you
took
like
it out
a
of the
mascara
dipper.
Wand without any
it's
mascara.
A mascara wand. That's it. Mascara is the word I was looking for.
Yeah,
that's great.
Ben, I have to just compliment you. Speaking of your eyes, you have the clearest eyes. Like there's not a hint of red.
I don't smoke pot. That's why.
I don't smoke pot. I never have.
I'm from Colorado. I just had to say that. Yeah, just had to be clear.
I'm just so jealous. Okay, you and Becca Tilly, clearest eyes. Anyway, moving on. We are still in studio with
Chicken
David.
Soup. David.
Chicken guy.
David, you were just getting ready to tell us that you, during the season of The Bachelorette with Becca, you fell off your bunk bed, which I get how that happens. A little behind the scenes. Let's start from the beginning. I think this is going to be interesting for everybody because we don't talk about a lot on here. What is the sleeping situation in the Bachelor Mansion for the contestants?
Yeah, so bunk beds. In my room, there were two bunk beds with a single bed. And
you were in a quiet room.
I was in a quiet room.
I had 12 in my room
the first week.
Yeah, I was in the big room.
But you had the master suite bathroom.
Yeah. I'd always use the bathroom downstairs because I'd like the privacy.
Okay, so we have to give as much detail as possible because we have people listening to this. There's what? Three bedrooms. Two small ones, one big one. The big one has 12 people sleeping in it.
Oh, the first week.
The
of
first
course.
Week. Yeah, yeah. And then the other two have like, less.
It's like 12, 5, and 6.
Yeah.
Something like
yeah.
that.
And then upstairs where everybody sleeps, the big room gets the master bath, which is nice.
It doesn't mean that you're like required to use whatever. You can use whatever bathroom you want. It just tends to
it's just
the closest.
Closest.
The 12
you guys ever use that people tub? In a room.
For the first week, yeah.
That is literally
maybe
like
11. I don't want to
sleepaway camp.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8,
it's a lot.
9, 10, 11.
Either
11.
Way, it is a lot of people in one room. The twin beds, I mean, you got some grown men on this thing. they're twin bunk beds. I haven't slept in a bunk bed in a long time. I was on the top bunk. A kid named Justin Rich was below me, and Sean Booth was in the bed next to me, which was super comforting for a lot of levels.
Did you reach out your hand?
Yeah,
to
sometimes it was nice.
I already sensed the warmth that was like radiating out.
It was.
Of that
I'd wake up in the morning and look over and be like, "Good, he's still here. he hasn't left yet."
He is very warm and fuzzy.
So you sleep in a bunk bed up top.
Up top.
You have a wild dream. What happened?
No, was. That night, we weren't drinking at all. Honestly,
didn't drink?
No, that night we weren't. We were just hanging out. We were just hanging out, went to bed, And the next thing I know, I'm in the hospital turning to the doctor, and the doctor
You
saying,
didn't remember anything?
I don't. I'm missing like a couple days from my memory.
Yeah, David.
Yeah.
No wonder you self-describe yourself.
Yeah. Like, maybe I'm still a little
messed
up.
This is the excuse you got to use, man.
This is it.
Any interview from here on out, be like, fell off a bed, man.
You forgot
CTE.
Until you saw the doctor.
Yeah. So I don't really remember much. I know that. So Blake was in the bed below me. And Colton was also in the room, the three Denver guys. I don't know if that was planned or whatever.
At least you had the good guys.
Oh, some great guys. And they were the ones, apparently, who they heard me fall, obviously. And they were the ones that, you know, started yelling for help. And at this point, I was unconscious for a few minutes. And there's a pile of blood. They get me, they have me stretchered out. I don't remember any of this. The boxers that I was wearing, at least I was wearing nice boxers. But
good point.
So does someone, Ben, is someone babysitting? Because none of you have phones. So is there like a chaperone that then is always there?
Yeah, there's the house is staffed with people watching and ready for these emergencies. I mean, I guess you don't remember it, but from what you know, how did the show handle the situation?
Yeah, so I was actually doing the dishes with a handler that night. And I'm someone who stays up late and gets up early. Yeah. So I got to know the people, and they handled it very well.
Yeah.
Pun intended. Handler handled it very well.
Yeah.
They treated it with the utmost, concern. They knew I was banged up. They knew, I thought of a bed and, we can laugh at falling out of a bed, but they knew it was really serious. Yeah. They knew I was unconscious for a few minutes, and they could see all the blood in my face, and they knew I was banged up.
They cared.
They absolutely cared. And, production and the show got me, to the best hospital, and, I was in the ICU for 48 hours.
Wow.
And I was, they were monitoring my brain bleed, and, eventually the, brain stopped bleeding, and we could then focus on the broken nose and my banged up face. But throughout the entire ordeal, I felt really comfortable. I felt comfortable with the people and the people that were taking care of me, the doctors, production. They never rushed me to get back onto the show.
What about your parents? Did they fly out?
So my mom was in the airport ready to come out.
Oh, really?
And she, we were FaceTiming, and she was obviously concerned with, the longevity of my brain and making sure I was okay. And I convinced her to not come out.
Yeah.
I, knew I was feeling okay at a certain point. And I said, Mom, you don't need to come out here. I appreciate it. I know you want to be here for me. There are people here that are taking care of me.
So, I mean, that's a good thing to say here, because the show gets some bad rap, right? From some of the spinoff shows that have been done and they kind of over-dramatize some of these tragic situations that are very real-life stuff. You felt like the show did not try to make a story of this. They didn't try to prolong this serious injury for you. They handled it well. They called your family. They allowed you to talk to your parents.
Absolutely.
You felt cared for, taken care of, loved on by the show after this incident.
48 hours of hospital time is not what they made it seem like. I think they actually downplayed injury.
I agree. I think, obviously there were, they made it kind of look like a fight, but they treated it very seriously, and it was more serious than they actually made it seem.
Great on the show. I mean, really, we got to say that. That's awesome on them for knowing that this is not something that they need to manipulate or use, that they handled this, they cared for you. And then when all this was done and said, they said, you got to get back in that arena, buddy. You got love to find.
So, I mean,
you look good with bruises on your face, like very manly.
Appreciate it. It wasn't, for me, I didn't care about how my face looked. I care about how I felt.
Your nose looks great.
You looked better than in that. It looked better than that chicken suit, I gotta say.
Yeah,
suit was real bad.
Yeah,
suit was fun though.
David, you didn't care how you looked; you cared how you felt. How so?
I cared about how my brain was feeling.
Yeah, that's a good point. Seems like a big deal.
I also cared about how my heart was feeling too.
Fair enough.
I cared. For me, I didn't care about people looking at me, judging me. When we would be walking through the airports, people would say, how'd you get hurt? Well, I thought of a bed.
Bachelorette.
Bachelorette.
I can't wait to watch.
Yeah, exactly.
Best PR ever. Just send David in the front of the line, walk through the airport, production behind him, and say, what happened to David? Sorry, he's filming The Bachelorette. Big deal. Yeah, big fight this season. A lot of drama. That's amazing.
Drama.
I'd use that.
Last question about the bed. Have you ever fallen off a bed at home?
No, I've never fallen out of a bed in
all time.
Yeah,
man.
I mean, how many seasons have there been? And like I'm the 30. First person to fall out of the bed.
Yeah, has it never happened before?
Never happened before. I mean, we're out here making history.
I can't wait till next season. Because I slept in the top bunk too. When they have the guardrails on the side of these bunk beds, and all of a sudden
they're literally going to have to. Like you know they're going to.
Little kid bunk bed guardrails too.
I mean, we saw Jordan putting the.
Did they put it on your bed in paradise?
I guess maybe we'll see.
Courtney,
you are tan.
So
tan, and you're glowing. You must be in love. So sweet.
We'll have to see.
All right. Well, David, it's been a pleasure.
This has been a blast. How do you feel? Was that too hard on you?
We're having fun here.
It's all fun and games.
You guys are great.
You know, until somebody falls out of a bed.
And then it's serious.
And then it's serious. Then you have to really check yourself. David, man, I do want to tell you, it was a really, really interesting date to watch. I feel like I'm invested in this season more than I have been in a while, just because I think, here's the thing. These guys are head over heels for her. Like, you know, they loved JoJo and they loved Caitlyn and they loved Rachel. But like, I feel like the guys this season on this season of Bachelor really are falling for Becca, and they just like her as a person. Also.
I think you're falling for Becca.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. I mean,
this gets weird fast.
I mentioned it to her.
Who?
Oh, really?
This gets weird.
I hung out with Becca at the Dodger game.
Oh.
And I feel bad because when I thought about it later, I thought,
this is not smart, Amy.
I know. It wasn't smart because here's why I feel really bad. And I've had to work through my guilt because she's with the guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I felt like, oh, that was, I should have waited, but I blurted it out.
You should have waited till what?
Till, you know, like that either has legs or doesn't.
They're not
going
to break up, guys. She's in love. She's happy.
Okay. That's probably true. And I hope for that.
Yeah.
But in case it doesn't, because of the track record of the show,
yeah,
I just told her to put you on the back burner.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
I mean, Ben,
you guys are ridiculous.
You've been really excited over her.
I haven't hid that. I think she's incredible. She's been, I mean, I'm super happy for her and this. And she's not the first person that has done this franchise that haven't been like, oh, they're attractive, they're cool, they're great. I think Becca's great. I haven't hid that.
Here's what I like. I just got it. I got it.
Okay.
I've had my aha moment.
Okay.
What's that?
I hope she works out with her guy.
Yeah.
But it is so nice to see Ben
showing interest,
having some feelings, like where he actually really thinks someone's cool.
Mm, that's nice.
Because maybe what this is, because I'm really manifesting things. Yeah. That's my thing. And maybe you're just putting it out into the universe that, like, maybe someone's going to come your way.
That's right. You're ready. You're saying you're ready. I mean, is it bad? Here's a question for all of our listeners out there. We haven't had a good listener question yet. David, I want you to answer this. Ashley, you answer this as well. Okay. And then our listeners, please email us at benandashleyiheartmedia.com. Tweet us and tag the Almost Famous podcast when you tweet us so we can read it. We can like it. We can analyze it, whatever. Here's a question. Is it okay for a guy or a girl, let's just say a person, to express, hey, even if, okay, I think they are great, even if they maybe are in a relationship or maybe you are in a relationship. Is it okay to say something like I just did about Becca, to say, hey, I think she is incredible. She is a dateable person. She is attractive. She is this and that. Is that a fair line to cross, or is that crossing the line? Ashley, you start.
As long as it's the single person admiring the taken person, that should be fine.
Okay. David?
I think it's okay. I think you're expressing, you know, so your feelings about the person and you like the person.
It's a compliment,
like
right?
A friend. Yeah. I would take it very much so as a compliment. Yeah.
Cool. All right. Hey,
I agree.
But please, I'm interested to hear what you think. Make sure you email us, tweet us, anything you can. David, again, you've been a blast. Thanks so much, buddy.
Thank you, guys.
Yay!
Appreciate you having me.
You
had
survived.
Fun.
Thank you
had
for
fun.
Your good
had
sense
fun.
Of humor.
Yeah, and
chicken
hey,
soup.
I will tell you.
And for all the entertainment.
All the self descriptions that you gave yourself, you align with most of them.
Thank you, Ben. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Today, Ben and I just had the best lunch.
Mm-hmm.
Chica's Tacos from downtown LA just brought the brightest taco. It's like their new hot spot for tacos. They've like elevated tacos to a whole other level, as if they could be ever any better. The chef-driven menu at Chica's Tacos is organic. It's sourced locally. It's always fresh, never frozen. And it's created by James Beard-nominated chef Eduardo Ruiz.
That's a big deal. A James Beard Award is a massive, massive accomplishment as a chef.
Is it?
It's the biggest.
Is it like a Michelin status type thing?
Yeah, I'd say it's similar. It's an individual award, though. Your restaurant can get it. The chef is then given the award. It's a huge deal. So that the fact that Chica's Tacos has a James Beard nominated chef, incredible.
That's pretty cool. The Taqueria is celebrating their anniversary on Saturday, June 30th, with a huge backlot bash called Baja Market LA. It's going to have music, guest chefs, visiting beer, tequila, wine labels, and live music. You can get tickets to the Baja Market LA at chicastacos.com for $30 or at the door. It's located in downtown LA. Chica's Tacos is serving Angelinos for a better taco with options that include pork with salsa verde, cauliflower chorizo, and fried fish topped with a Caesar salad. The restaurant is a modern twist on a classic taqueria for people in downtown LA. It's an authentic experience with a twist.
We have, coming up here, to close out probably one of the most exciting podcasts we've ever had.
It's a really good episode. I mean, I may say so myself.
Ashley has a newfound happiness and joy to her. It's going to be a blast for, I mean, what's going to last us, like,
thanks,
6 months to a year?
Yeah, when's she going to cry?
When's she going to cry again? That's what I'm waiting for.
There will be some drama. You know she's going to be a bride.
You know what? You know what I have an issue with is the picture that people released the day after. It looks like a bridezilla is being born. I'm like,
totally.
And I'm like, oh, that's
it's okay, Ash.
Yeah.
Ash, we still love you.
Thanks.
And we love somebody even more. Bob Guinea, are you out there?
Hi, Bob.
Hey, hi guys.
Hey, bachelor in what? 1976. Right?
Yeah, 74 on the Bachelorette, 76 on the Bachelor, yeah.
Bob, thanks for joining the Almost Famous podcast.
Hey, thanks, guys. Congratulations, Ashley.
Thank you so much. Welcome back. It hasn't been long since you've been on.
And congratulations to you.
Yes.
Thank you very much. Yes.
Baby on the way.
Everything still works properly at this age. I'm shocked.
Mm-hmm. Because how old are you?
47, guys.
Wait, how did that happen?
I know, it's crazy, right?
What?
Yeah, I was a bachelor when I was 32. That's 15 years ago.
Damn, 15 years ago. Man, you've kept your relevance.
Thanks.
I wonder if this day would ever happen for you, Bob.
You know, I got to tell you, I did too. There was a point where I kind of chalked it up that it wasn't going to, and I honestly, I heard Ashley talk about her people, the picture, and I thought you looked beautiful, and I can honestly say when they called me about it, and I was like, I didn't think my life could get any better. I really didn't. I thought, wow, I finally got it all figured out, man. It just took me a long time to get there, and then all of a sudden, this news came along, and it was about as wonderful of a moment as I've ever had in my entire life, so I can only imagine what the actual birth is going to be like. It's going to be shocking to me, so I'm just so excited. Yeah, thank you very much.
Hey, Bob, how did having a baby happen?
What have you been doing
for the last 37 years?
You know, 47
years.
What, having been, I will say this. You know, my ex-wife and I are still good friends, but I'm so glad we didn't have children together, and and you know, and then not be able to parent together. Not that I believe me, every one of my family and friends has gone through it, and I know it's kind of normal. But I'm so glad that I get to actually, you know, experience childbirth with my wife, which is exciting. So I'm very, I don't know, you know, I think, you know, depends on how spiritual people can be. But for me, I think the Lord works in mysterious, but sometimes obvious ways. And I think I'm pretty excited that it worked out the way that it did for me this time. So I'm very happy.
We are so excited for you. When we heard the news ourselves, we said right away, we got to get him on here because we all love Bob. Bob has been a staple in the Bachelor franchise for us on just like who we like, who we look up to, who keeps us laughing, who keeps us smiling. Ashley and I and the whole staff here at the Almost Famous podcast, we really are excited for you.
Yeah, you just kind of like radiate dad. You're just a dad.
Is that a compliment?
Oh, I love it. Yeah, I think that's a compliment. I've had the dad bod going for several years.
Yeah.
I think you were the bachelor with the dad bod.
Yeah, I think I was. I think I really was.
What was the tagline when you were the bachelor?
I don't know. I think at the time, now they've used it a billion times since, but at the time I was the first reject or whatever we would call ourselves. the first guy that wasn't picked on The Bachelorette that they made into The Bachelor. So I think they were just, at the time, it was just like America's Favorite Bachelor. It was before they started doing the, you know, Officer or Gentleman and all the themes that they do.
Wanuary.
So, yeah.
What was
yours?
Wanuary. The Perfect Ben.
Oh, The Perfect Ben.
Mine was simple. The Perfect Ben. That's it. I remember that.
Sets you up for failure.
Nice. Yeah.
No, nowhere but down from there.
Lines, you know?
Bob,
like Andrew Firestone and I always say, we were pre-abs and pre-catchphrase. So it worked out great.
Bob, when's the baby due?
December 5th. So it's going to be a holiday time baby.
That's sweet.
You know if it's a boy or a girl?
Yeah. Yeah, we found out it's going to be a boy. We're very, very excited.
We love boys.
Thank you very much.
A future bachelor is born.
That's right. That's right. I wonder if he gets like sort of like preferential treatment with flights. I'll have to make an outbound call. But
that would be something.
Easy.
The generations bachelor. It could happen.
Boy. That's a long. This baby hasn't even been born yet.
Then it's here.
And we're
what
wishing
it
death.
What do you think about a second generation bachelor?
Oh boy.
Oh, Sean Lowe. He said Sean Lowe's got two that are in the running.
Executive producer Bennett is in here. He's saying that it could happen. I mean. Let's not wish this on anybody.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
I mean, are we really hoping? All right.
Little Billy or Debbie finds their way on their own.
Bob, what's one sport you want your child to participate in?
Oh, you know, it's so funny that you asked me that. So I played football in college, and a lot of people are always like, oh, so he's going to be a quarterback? And I'm like, well, you know, I got to figure out a name that sounds cool if he is, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you got to have that. But honestly, more and more, it's like I don't care if he's a tap dancer or whatever he is. I just want him to have a blast doing it and be kind to everybody else. And that's honestly all I care about. Huh. But I'd love obviously for him to, you know, want to play football at Michigan State too. That'd be pretty awesome.
Yeah.
But I'm totally gonna leave it up to him. You know, I've seen some pretty bad little league dads over the years, so I definitely don't want to be one of those. But I'm just excited. I just want to be healthy and happy and kind. That's all I care about.
That's it right there.
That's
right?
It.
Healthy, happy, and kind.
Or as Cinderella says, have courage and be kind.
That's amazing,
ooh,
Ashley.
Oh. I like that. I like that. I'm going to steal that.
Hey, Bob. Hey, congratulations again from all of us. We love you. You've been amazing to Ashley and I in this podcast. We hope to talk to you December like 6th, right after the baby's born, maybe during it, just to get a live action shot of all the
bedside.
Audio.
I'll FaceTime.
Please.
I'll FaceTime bedside. Yeah, that'd be perfect.
Amazing. Bob, thanks a lot, man.
Thanks, guys. Love you guys. Bye.
Bye.
The Thread is a new hit podcast from Ozzy Media that explores history's surprising connections in order to discover how one thing leads to another. Like how movie moguls in early Hollywood helped spark the Me Too movement today. Get it on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen.
What a great podcast.
It's such a good
podcast.
This was
fun today, Ashley.
Such a good podcast.
Yeah.
How's Generous Coffee doing?
Generous Coffee is going incredibly well. It is. I mean, people still seem, I think, a little surprised.
They seem surprised
that this is my full-time job.
Yeah.
I mean, it's what I wake up and do every day outside of the podcast here, and the blog. It is Generous Coffee is my day-to-day job. I love Generous Coffee a lot, but you know what? You can only buy Generous online.
Yeah.
And that's the problem for anybody right now. We deliver, but you can only buy it online, and then you have to brew it, which I think is great. It's the best coffee in the world. There's something maybe even a little better now and then. Is pulling up to a coffee shop.
Yeah.
I like pulling up to. I'm not, hey.
The drive-thru
coffee. I'm not going to be mad at you for drinking other coffee.
So good. Okay.
I want you to drink Generous, but if you happen to like Dunkin',
okay, because
I get it.
Dunkin' is my favorite coffee of all time. It's like, it's actually like not coffee to me if it's not Dunkin'. Well, I mean Generous and Dunkin'. Sorry.
I was trying
Dunkin'.
To set you up for success there, and you just
well, when
about
it,
ruined
when it comes
it.
To going into a coffee shop, yeah. Like, I don't go in and like take the time unless I see a Dunkin', and they're rare around here in LA.
Mm.
There's only like a number. I think there's like 6 or 7, but there's a new one in Burbank, which excites me greatly because that means whenever we come to record here at iHeart, I will be going to a Dunkin'. Whenever I'm in Hollywood, got to go to that one. Jared lives right next to one downtown. Mm-hmm. I'm so jealous.
If I ate half of 3 different donuts, that is less than a donut, right?
Yeah.
Because if I cut it, and then I ate a half, and then I cut it and ate a half, and I cut it and ate a half.
Well,
that
that's
really
like
count.
Actually 50% more than a donut.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, but
Ashley can do math.
Anyway, so just
when, hey, when's the opening?
It is on Saturday, June 30th at 200 South Glen Oaks Boulevard, beginning at 9 a.m. I might be there, just letting you know if you guys want to come hang out. Beginning at 9 a.m., the first 100 guests in line at the lobby will receive free coffee for a year.
That's
so
incredible.
Be sure to come out and celebrate the opening of Dunkin' in Burbank.
How does Generous compete with free coffee? Like, how do we compete with that? You we try hard.
What if you do the first 100 people to, like, you know, tweet you?
Mm-hmm. Hey, we might be opening up a shop, too. We have one email we want to read here. This is my light, but very, very personal Ben Bitches segment, even though we've promised to take it off until the end of the year. I just got to say this. Yeah, just until off season. But I got to do this today because I'm sick and tired of it. I'm angry. I'm exhausted. I'm tired of the questions. I'm tired of the assumptions. I'm tired of people feeling bad for me. I'm tired. I'm just tired, Ashley. And what I'm tired of is the fact that the internet says I'm 30 years old.
Oh, yeah, that does.
I'm 29.
Wait,
I was born March
always.
23rd, 1989. I'm telling you right now, I know we have a lot of support over at Google. They listen to the podcast religiously every week. For anybody out there that's a Google employee, Wikipedia, any of those weird search engines, I don't know what else. I am 29 years old and proud of it. I'm not 30.
I just Googled it. 30.
I promise I'm not 30.
Every article I read.
I'm not 30.
But the internet says you
I know.
Are.
Amy, I'm not
30. It's because you're so mature and it's like.
March 23rd, 1989. Ask my parents.
But
there's
here's
a picture.
The thing. I thought I was 43.
Yeah.
And I'm 44.
Sometimes I forget
I
too.
Know.
I don't forget
are
now.
Are you sure you're 30?
No, I don't know.
You're 30.
Let's assume I'm 29. just for the sake. Anyways, if you out there, you can change that. Please do it. I'm tired of it. I'm not 30. I'm not that old yet.
Oh.
What? Sorry, Amy. That came off
wrong.
I didn't mean to say it like that.
It's fine. Yeah. I'm living my life at 30.
You sure
greatest.
Are. Yeah, you're doing something at 30. You're glowing. You're happy. You're engaged. We love you.
Thank you.
Ashley, thank you again for coming all the way back from your engagement to sit here in studio. Don't ever leave me, please. And if you do, give me like a couple weeks warning. I don't know if what I would do without you and this podcast.
What are you talking about? I would never leave you.
I just feel like Jared's such a step up.
You're going to leave me because you're going to be the bachelor.
Oh.
She ran off and got engaged. It's like she ditched us and got engaged.
It's a weird. It's like she went back on the show. She left for 3 weeks, comes back engaged. Now she's happy.
Excuse me. I believe that
can't
you
tell us anything
were
about
missing
it.
The week before.
Hey, with that, we love you all. We appreciate you all. Email us at BenAndAshleyiHeartMedia.com. We have a huge podcast next week for you. We're going to continue to break down Becca. We're going to have a special guest. Ashley's going to be here. I'm going to be in studio. We love you. We care about you. We'll be talking to you soon.
Bye.
Follow the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.